If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to begin reading with verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 4. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. It's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 2. Then he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of right, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached, also that them are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without. As every man hath received the gift, even so the same one to another, minister one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We're going to cease reading with these verses, and let's just go back and just kind of glance over them just a moment. You know, he said, arm yourselves. That's a little bit different choice of words that was used here. To arm yourselves. You know, the Lord is saying to take up that spiritual armor, to arm yourself with the mind of Christ, the same mind that Christ had. In other words, let's go and advance his kingdom. Let's advance his kingdom work. Let's arm ourselves with the mind that Christ had, suffering for righteousness' sake. You know, Christ came into this world and he had a purpose, and that was to be a blessing to you and I. That was to be a savior to you and I, to the world. And in so doing, with that task at hand, that cup to drink, he came and he had to suffer. And he said, we need to take on that same mind. We're going to have to suffer a little bit in order to advance the kingdom of God. And so he says, no longer, you know, we're not to live the rest of our time out in the flesh satisfying our own lust. You know, you look at the world today and there's a lot of people that call themselves Christians, but they're living life to please self. They are living life the way that they want to, and doing the things that would please them, doing the things that would please the flesh, or at least trying to do those things that would please the flesh. We know that the devil kind of has he shows us mirages, I guess you'd say. And you see things that look good until you get involved in them as a child of God. You find out we're robbed. Really, you can't have fun in sin. And yet there's a lot of people that's trying to do that, and they're trying to please the flesh. Okay, so he says, you know, there's a time when you were lost. There's a time whenever you ran with that lost crowd. And that time has passed now that you're saved. And you know, that time you wanted to try to gain the world's approval. You wanted the approval of your friends, the approval of the lost world. He said, but that time is gone. It's past. And so he mentions them. He said, well, today they think it's strange that you're not with them anymore. You know, I've got some friends, Brother Allen, that they think it's strange that I'm standing up here preaching tonight. They think it's strange that, you know, when they're around me, I want to talk about God because they remember me different. They remember me living a different life, and you know, they think it's strange, and they speak evil of me because of that. And he said, that's going to happen. If we live for Christ, that's going to happen. So, you know, but he goes on, he says, but God is going to judge them. The time is going to come. God is going to judge them. God is going to judge the law, judge the lost. God is going to judge the saved according to our works. A little bit different judgment there. He's not going to judge me to find out if I'm saved. He knows that. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's not going to judge them to find out that they're saved. If they're lost, he already knows that. But no doubt the judgment will be a little different there. And he said God's going to judge them. And we know that God is going to judge us according to our works. And so he goes on. He says, listen, the end of all things is at hand. Well, that sounds familiar, don't it? You've been hearing that all your life. The end of all things is at hand. Boy, the Lord's going to come back. But He is. He will come back. May catch everybody off guard. There may not be anybody looking for Him when He comes back. I trust there'll be some. I'm sure there'll be some. But the end of all things is at hand. And he says, so you watch soberly and you pray, and church have fervent charity among yourselves. Charity. He said, charity will cover the multitude of sins. You know, when I think about that, that's certainly true. But I think if I show charity the way Jesus showed charity to me, then somebody might see what I have and want it. There might be some lost that see what I have and want what I have. And so, you know, if I can love the way Christ loves and I can show fervent charity, that there might be a lost person come to know the Lord, and a multitude of sins has been covered there. Or if I come to church and I love you the way that I should, and I might provoke you to love and to good works, then I might encourage you to be on the right path, and that would cover a multitude of sins. Brother Allen, if you see me out here and you see me straying away a little bit, and you come to me in love with fervent charity, and you try to encourage me, and you're able to turn me around, and I repent and I get back in line, well, charity just covered a multitude of sins. Now, you know, I don't mean that if you love someone, accept the sin. And that don't mean that, you know, if you love someone, just Don't tell them the truth, because they may be sensitive and it may hurt their feelings. Boy, we're living in a time now, everybody's so sensitive. And you Christians, you shouldn't tell people about Jesus. You may hurt their feelings. And I tell you what, they'll hurt a lot worse if they burn in hell. And so we need to let people know. And so we are to have that fervent charity. But look at verse 10. That's what I want to focus on tonight. It says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know, a steward, and I know you all know the definition of that. Sometimes I have to go back and get it, but it simply means a manager. Brother Alton, that I am to be a good steward of the manifold or the excessive grace that God has shown me, the variety of grace that God has shown me. I am to be a good steward of that. I can look at my life, and Brother Alton, in so many ways I have seen the grace of God, you know, to live. No doubt He has shown me favor, to be saved. You know, I'm saved tonight by amazing grace. It's amazing. I've tried to preach about grace so many times. And I always feel like I fall short of that, because it is so amazing. His unmerited favor. You know, Jesus, I thought about Jesus and how He grew in favor with God and with man, and how that the Lord has allowed me to live and to grow in favor with Him. And that's what He wants us to do as a child of God, to grow in favor with Him. And so, and to appreciate that grace, that the manifold grace of God, to appreciate it, be a good manager. Okay, so we're to be a good steward of this life that God has blessed us with. And Brother Mike, we could look at that a number of different ways. You could look and say, well, your health. Yes, God gave me this body. Yes, I should appreciate it enough that I am a good manager of even this body that He gave me. That I'm to take care of my health to the best of my ability and, you know, all of that. And Paul said, you know, I keep my body under subjection lest I become a castaway. It's important that we manage it well. Think about money. You know, God allows us to have a little money. And yet the Bible, David made this statement. He said, Lord, everything that I have belongs to you. Think about that. Brother Jake, everything that we have belongs to Him already. So what has he done here? He gave me this life. The Spirit, it come from God. That's where it come from. He gave it. In this life, He gave me some things. And what do I have that it's not His? And so really all I am is a manager of what He's given me. I've been left here to take care of the things that He has given me, and so I need to manage it well. I think about my wife here, and look, I didn't get her on my own. God bless me. He says that, you know, if a man find a wife, he findeth a good thing and favor the Lord. So God loaned her to me. And I'm to manage that relationship well. He gave me my kids. I couldn't do that on my own. God blessed me with my kids. And you know what He said about these kids, these young people? He said, they are a heritage from the Lord. So I say my kids, but really, you know, God is, He's loaned them to me for a little while. And He wants me to be a good steward of my children. And He said, you take those kids and you raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, and so I've got to give an account for that. But you know, I could take all this tonight, Brother Buddy, and I can funnel it through. We can funnel it through one thing, and that is time. Are you a good steward of your time? Because we don't know if we have tomorrow. With that in mind, are you a good steward of your time? You don't know if you have the next week or next month or next year. All you know is right now. So with that in mind, look at verse 2 one more time. He says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. To be a good steward of my time, the carnal man has to go. The carnal man has to, we have to put him aside, and the spiritual things must become top priority. I'm afraid, Brother Allen, that many of us have that out of order. Many of us, we have a lot of carnal things as our number one priority. You know, and I have watched myself, and you know, there's times when I say, well, I really want to do this. God made me burden me over here, and I said, well, I'll get around to that. Get around to it. But now, if I'm a good steward of my time, what should come first? Certainly. Whatever it is God's burdened my heart with, that should come first. That should be more important. That should be my top priority. And that's what the Lord is telling us here, that we no longer live this life and live out our time, you know, trying to please the flesh, the lust of the flesh, but to the will of God. to be a good steward of my time. You know, Psalms 90 verse 10, the question's asked there, he says, or rather, it's a petition made to God. He says, so teach us to number our days. How many times you talk to somebody and they say, well, I'm just so busy. I'm so busy. That's how we describe life. I'm so busy. Say, well, what you gonna do this? Well, when I get time. Are you gonna do that over there? Well, when I get time, I will. When are we gonna get more time? See, we have today. God burns our heart with a lost sinner. We have today. The lost sinner has today. We tell that lost sinner, don't we? Brother Buddy, we say, you know, lost sinner, you need to be saved. Today is the day of salvation. You are not promised tomorrow. Well, what about us? It's our duty to tell the lost sinner. If our gospel's here, it's here to them and lost. And yet we almost handle the lost sinner like we've got all the time in the world. So, we have today with the lost sinner. We don't have tomorrow promised. You know, today is the day we can help them. We don't have tomorrow yet. I know God may be merciful and He may bless us and be long-suffering and give us another day or another week or another year or another decade. That's between, you know, that's up to the Lord. However He wants to do things. But we have right now. Today is the day we need to be concerned. Today is the day we need to pray for an open door. Today is the day that we need to pray for long suffering for that lost sinner. Today is the day to do good. If you know to do good and do it not, it is sin. Priorities. Need to have them in order. He says, you be a good steward of the manifold grace of God. Look over at Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 33. Verse that we all know, I've read it so many times here. It's still good. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. A good steward of time is not constantly looking down the road at the next year or the 5 to 10 year plan. We understand life is but a vapor. It is here today. It is gone tomorrow. And that doesn't mean I can't make I can't look out and dream or I can't have a plan. Certainly, the Lord said, you need to say, if it's the Lord's will, you're going to do this or do that. You know, if I want to do something down the road, I say, well, Lord willing, I will be able to do that. And not just say it. Many people say it, don't really mean it. We are to understand that if God will allow and if God will bless, then we'll do. But if not, we're not going to let that be too much of a problem. Because if it's the Lord's will, we'll do it. If it's not His will, we won't. Which brings us back to what I'm trying to preach. Most important thing for a good steward is to focus on doing good right here, right now. If you know to do good and do it not, it's sin. And I believe that it, as the Lord burdens your heart to do something good, you do it. And we are to pray, God, open the door. And whenever the Lord opens the door, we don't need to look at that door and say, well, thanks for opening that door. I'll get to it eventually. Let's go ahead and get to it now. We know to do good. Do it right now. You know, the things, He says, the things you need, they'll be added. to seek His righteousness first. The things you need, God knows about that. God will take care of. Just do what He would have you to do. While we worry about 5 years down the road, the present evil today is sufficient to... it can destroy us now. It's the little foxes. It's those little things. Right now, there's enough just in this day for me to handle. So I need to handle the here and now, don't I? You know, can I ask you this question? What's hindering you today that you may be overlooking? While you're busy thinking about tomorrow, while you're busy thinking about next week or next year or down the road, what is hindering you right now? What's distracting you right now? Well, let me put it this way. What is it that's eating away at your influence while you're distracted with tomorrow? What's eating away your influence? The old rich man, he was distracted with a bumper crop and new construction. We're going to build a new barn. He was so distracted by that. He looked out. Look at that crop. And he's sitting here writing out a list of things he wants to buy in the Sears and Roebuck's catalog. And you know, that this is what I'm going to get. I'm going to build these new barns. I'm going to sit back and relax. He's so distracted by all that. He forgot about his soul. That's very important. If you're any lost, you need to understand this. It's important that you consider your soul. You know, Isaiah 38, I believe it is. God causes the sun to roll back for... Is it Elijah? I always get Elijah and Elisha mixed up. I'm sorry, it's not neither one. It's Isaiah. Isaiah and how that God caused the sun to back up 10 degrees. That's amazing. You know, we talk about the Red Sea parting and, you know, all these amazing things you read in Scripture. You think about God taking and He rolled the sun back 10 degrees. That's amazing. I've often thought about that. Brother Mike, wouldn't it be nice if you could just pray and God, you know, I've run out of time. I need more time. And He just back it up for you. All right, now I can finish what I need to do. I can go visit like I need to. I can get this done like I need to. Oh, the thing is, God's not going to roll the time back for us. The only one time it went counterclockwise. God's not going to roll it back for us. We need to ask Him to help us number our days. Our time is moving forward. It's not going to move backwards. We're not going to gain some time. We're not going to go back and, you know, finish out last year because we missed some things. Time is moving forward and time is precious, and God has made us managers over a few years. Man born of a woman is, we always get the trouble part, don't we? Man born of a woman is a few days. Brother Jake, we have a few days. We live to be 100. God said, you got a few days. And so God has made me a steward. He's made me a manager over a few years, few days. He said, you be a good steward of it. You manage it well. God has appointed us a time to die. Got an appointment out there. Go meet it. We're going to give an account for how we used our time. I think about Matthew 12 and verse 36, talking about judgment there. He said, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Whenever I hear that, well, Alan, that makes me tremble just a little bit. You know, when I look at judgment, I'm not standing around, you know, just fearing judgment, and yet God is going to judge us according to our works. And He says, even every idle word, He said, you're going to give an account for that. You better manage your time well, because even the words that come out of our mouth, if it's an idle word, you've still got to give an account for that time that you've used. Are you using your time well? How we manage our time is serious business. The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. I ask for a song.